We have arrived, friends. We have arrived at the day of Pentecost, and we can see what we have been moving toward in the weeks since Easter, the moment of emergence. For the disciples of Jesus, the men and the women who followed him and have been taught by him and wept at the foot of his cross and were puzzled by his empty tomb and astonished at his resurrection, Jerusalem has been their cocoon since Easter morning. They have been waiting for something to happen, waiting and wondering and whiling away the days and the hours, and now the moment has come. Under the surface unknown to them, transformation has taken place, and now their chrysalis has cracked open. And the Holy Spirit is stirring the wind under their wings, encouraging them to soar. This is the moment the disciples have been waiting for. Before his death, Jesus had promised his followers that when he wasn't able to be with them anymore, he would send an advocate and counselor, the Spirit of Truth, to help them and be with them always. After his resurrection, Jesus told the disciples they will preach forgiveness and repentance in his name, but they were to stay in Jerusalem until they had been clothed with power from on high. He has told them they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit chooses the festival of Pentecost to make her presence known and felt. Now, Pentecost is significant on its own for several reasons. This ancient Jewish festival occurs 50 days after Passover. It is a harvest festival, recalling God's faithfulness and the land's fruitfulness. And scripturally, this day of celebration remembers the day that God gave the law, the Torah, to Moses on Mount Sinai. So you see, the day of Pentecost was already laden with meaning for Jesus' disciples, who all grew up steeped in Jewish tradition and teaching. This was a day of joy, a celebration of abundance, of God's presence, and the gift of wisdom. The arrival of the Holy Spirit added a new layer of significance to this day. The Jewish people recognized that the gift of the Torah was both a gift of written word, the commandments inscribed in stone, but it was also the gift of the spoken word, the oral interpretations of the Torah, the instructions that have to be shared from person to person. When he walked the earth, Jesus was the definitive oral Torah. After his resurrection and return to heaven, after his followers received the Holy Spirit, this tradition of oral Torah came to life in each one of them. And this Pentecost celebration of ingathering from the fields of plenty, well, it became a celebration of God gathering all the people to him, faithful people from all over the known world. And Peter, the disciple who speaks up to Jesus most often in the gospel accounts, the one we most identify with when he misses the point or speaks without thinking, that same Peter was the first to preach at Pentecost, the first to breathe out this nuanced oral Torah about not just the grace of God, but also the love of Jesus the Christ. And just to be clear, the absence of Jesus the teacher and the arrival and baptism of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost does not mean that Peter and the disciples were done learning. By no means. The second reading today from Acts 10 is a small piece of a larger story about Peter preaching to and baptizing the household of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman centurion, the head of the Italian regiment. He believed in God. He was generous, grace-filled. But Cornelius was not Jewish, not by birth, not by conversion. Cornelius sent for Peter because he wanted to hear more about God, about Jesus. He wanted to be baptized and become part of this movement of love and grace and kindness and generosity. Before the messenger from Cornelius even arrived, Peter had a vision, and in his vision, there was this conversation with God about inclusion. Even after Pentecost, even after Peter preached to all those faithful people gathered in Jerusalem from all over the world, from places like Mesopotamia and Asia and Egypt and Libya and Crete and even Rome, Peter still struggled to grasp that God's love was for all people, not just the Jews, not just the insiders. And so God appealed to Peter's long-held beliefs. God showed Peter a sheet covered with every animal on the face of the earth. Now, the written Torah said certain animals were unclean and unfit to eat. And in this vision, God told Peter he could choose anything. Anything! And Peter was puzzled. He responded, thinking he was being tested. Oh, no, I would never eat anything unclean. And God said, Peter, I'm the Lord. Nothing I made is unclean. Nothing God made is unclean. No thing God made is outside God's love. No one is excluded from God's household. God has this worldview where everybody is loved and accepted just as they are. God doesn't have favorites. And Peter saw it. And Peter got it. And Peter went to the household of the Roman centurion Cornelius, and he discovered the Holy Spirit was already at work there. If Pentecost represents the cracking open of a chrysalis, then Peter's encounter with Cornelius is one example of how the Holy Spirit helps us soar in transformed lives. Just as we pause and take delight when we notice a butterfly crossing our path, so do the Spirit-led practices of unconditional love and radical acceptance transform our world. It was radical for Peter to think someone so unlike himself, a Roman soldier, a Gentile, could also be God's beloved child and be gifted with God's Spirit. It was radical for him to baptize Cornelius and his family. But then again, just a short time earlier, it was radical to think an uneducated Galilean fisherman might be a gifted preacher. No thing and no one is outside of God's love. No thing and no one is excluded from God's household. The love is unconditional. The gracious acceptance is radical. What would our world look like if we allowed God's Holy Spirit to transform us the way it transformed Peter? If we learned to give radical welcome and equal space at the table to the people who we once thought were outsiders. People who don't look like what we see in our mirrors. People who don't listen to the same music as us, or eat the same kinds of food that we do, or vote for the same candidates we do. Could our transformation color our community with unconditional love and radical acceptance and grace? Could we make a difference in the lives of others? Could we move the needle a little closer to bringing God's kingdom on earth? It is Pentecost Sunday, friends. This is the moment. The Holy Spirit is moving. Where will she take us? Amen.